Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 20, background is Paul is showing the sincerity of his preaching versus those who were preaching for wrong motives. He always had to defend his apostleship. They questioned his apostleship because he was not part of the original 12, but he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, as we know the scripture revealed. And so in verse number 20, Paul said this: "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." So how many know faith is yes? Faith is not something I wonder, I think it might work, but faith is now. And when we start talking about God, we don't talk about God in a vague way or that we are not sure about God. How many know all the promises of God are yes and amen? But I like that part to what? To the glory of God. So everything that God does in our lives, even when we lay claim to his promises, God's ultimate objective is to get glory out of it. Now, come down to the next verse and read it with me. It says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." Did you grab that? He who has what? Established us. Paul is not just someone who just decided this is what I'm going to do in my life. I'm just going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be an apostle. He said, no, God has established us. And not only has God established us in these roles and these assignments, but God has anointed us. When God has given you a leader, you have to recognize that's not just someone that decided to do something with their life. They decided to follow Christ. And Christ does what? He establishes us in the body of Christ. Not only does he establish us, but he has to what? Anoint us. So Paul say he has anointed us, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. He has anointed us, but he also gave us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee or as a witness or as a confirmation that we belong to him. How many know the Holy Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? Hallelujah. And so what I want to talk about today, because we got to start embracing the anointing. Say the anointing. God established your pastor. He calls him. He assigns him because he decided to follow Jesus. But in that establishing, God places an anointing up on him, and that anointing is not for himself. That anointing is not to make him successful. His success is following Jesus. If you follow Jesus, you're going to be successful. Remember, there's a different success that the Bible talks about than the world talks about. Paul said he has anointed us. That's where you benefit from. You benefit from the anointing that Jesus places on the one that he assigns to your life. I want you to get a different outlook on your under shepherd. And so what I want to title this today, the value of being shepherd. Notice I did not say the value of the shepherd. I did not say the value of the sheep, because the value of the shepherd in the sheep is not found in themselves or their possessions, but in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said what? I am who I am by the grace of God. My value, my identity is in Christ now. I don't have to live in a world who gets to size me up and who gets to put me in a certain category based on external things. But I live in a kingdom now. For everyone that's in this kingdom, in this family of God, you are a person of value. You have significance because you are in Christ Jesus. There should be no believer walking around depressed or feeling like they don't measure up or feeling like they are not accepted. You are accepted in the beloved Jesus Christ. People will reject you because they rejected Jesus. That's okay. The Bible says when they reject you, you got to learn how to shake the dust off your feet. The value is when I'm being shepherded. God uses various metaphors in the Bible. That's all through the Bible. We see these what we call word pictures to teach us lessons about himself, about his kingdom, about the church, the covenant family, about Satan, about evil, about the world, about all kinds of things. God speaks metaphorically. And so the shepherd and sheep metaphor is a common one God used to communicate concerning the church. And the reality is that the fold is made up of sheep, goats, and sometimes wolves. That is a true picture of the church. Jesus talked about that there will be goats in the church, and he literally tells the pastor, leave the goats alone, and when I come, I will separate the sheep from the goats. Paul said that wolves will enter into the church in order to get this now, divide the fold and to draw the sheep after themselves. That is a true biblical picture of the church. But I want you to journey with me today, because one of the subtle devices Satan plants in the mind of certain believers is this: they do not need shepherding. You have met people, I have met people like that, and they usually talk something like this. Well, you know, I can read my Bible for myself. Or they say that you don't have to go to church to be saved. In some sense of the matter, there's some truth to that. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as some. So if the Bible tells me not to do something and I do it, then God's got a problem with that. It's called disobedience, right? But they don't understand this. You cannot say you are a Christian and say you don't need shepherding, because shepherding is not a man idea or a religious concept, but a kingdom principle laid out by God himself. And sometimes people don't believe they need shepherding because they have self-imposed title. I've seen people who couldn't get a title out of church went to another church so they can get it, because people giving out titles like chewing gum. And people sometimes give out titles in the church. Why? Because it makes people feel more obligated to stay. It's a control principle. And so you get these people who have these self-imposed titles, and they get to go wherever they want to go, unaccountable. Call themselves prophet, evangelist, or whatever. And you ask them, what church? Well, I'm not in no church. They call themselves the circuit preacher, just going from church to church, looking for a platform to preach. I meet evangelists like that. Well, what church are you part of? And then sometimes they're out there running on their own, and they hear somebody getting ready to start up something, they run in real quick, because they figure if I can catch it at the ground level, I'll be able to get in and start doing something like preaching. They're really looking for a platform. That's what they're looking for. And they'll go to that church, and after about a year, they leave that church because, the preacher didn't recognize my anointing. Don't nobody have to recognize your anointing. If you are anointed, guess what? The gift will make room for itself. Oh, yeah, the gift will make room. Oh, the church will be glad to have that anointing. So sometimes it's because they have what I call self-imposed titles. They wander on their own. And then sometimes they are shepherdless because they are shepherding with no flock. How can you be a shepherd and you don't have a flock? So some people are not being shepherd because they are not willing to come under a shepherd. They just want to be a shepherd themselves. And then you have those who are in the fold but have received an anti-shepherding attitude toward their pastor. And get this now, they no longer benefit from the shepherding anointing. You are here, and that anointing that God has placed on my life is so that I can administer, I can serve you the word of God. So you get this, so you can become spiritually fat in the church. Hallelujah. Spiritually nourished. But when you get an anti-shepherding attitude toward your pastor, you are present, but you are not being perfect. You're not growing. So I want us to see these are reasons why people do not benefit from the value of being shepherd. So when it comes to shepherding, it's nothing deep. It's really simple. I want to give you a definition. It is God's ordained method in lovingly leading and feeding those who choose to follow Jesus Christ. That's what shepherding means. It's God ordained. It's not, man cannot do this on his own. It's ordered by God in his kingdom order. Just like there was a time when we read an announcement that God had Moses and Abraham, and then God began to raise up prophets, and he began to raise up judges, and he began to raise up kings, and then he began to raise up apostles, and then he began to establish what? Local churches. It's no longer a nation of Israel as God's chosen people. It's the body of Christ. And the nation of Israel become what? Part of the body of Christ. Shepherding is a calling from the chief shepherd and not a casual or carnal craving of one's desire to teach God's word or excite others. I'm talking about the value of being shepherd. You're going to have to get out of traditional stuff that was sown in your mind about the pastor. Oh, the pastor should be doing this. And a lot of time when people talk like that, they're so carnal. Some of them don't even know how to pray for their pastor. You want to know how to pray for your pastor? Read your Bible and how Paul told him to pray for us. One occasion, Paul said, pray that the word of God shall have free course. In other words, pray that the word that God has given us can get outside the walls of the church. You pray for that anointing on your path. You pray that that anointing will impact more lives for the kingdom of God. You want to see the kingdom advance. You want to see souls get saved. You pray, oh God, give our pastor a heart for souls. See people come into the kingdom. Not a heart to try to get people to come from other churches, but what? To come into the kingdom. To get born again. So we talk about the value of being shepherd. In Jeremiah chapter 3, Israel is identified by God as a harlot. That's the term the Bible used. Israel is a harlot. That means Israel is going around hanging out with other gods. Supposed to be in relationship with God, but they're going around hanging with others. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, then say, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again. So the prophet is raising a question to get them to think, which was very common during that time. Would not the land be greatly polluted? But get this, you have played what? You have played the harlot with many lovers, yet return to me, says the Lord. So the background here is that God is dealing with a people who are walking in a rebellious state. They got many lovers. That means they got many gods that they're bowing down to. In verse number 6, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played what? Played the harlot. Israel has gone from lover to lover to lover. And I mean, God is a jealous God. And God's not going to share us with other gods. And so they are going on these high mountains. That was where they went to worship Baal and worship all kinds of gods that were pagan gods. And here they're trying to mix that with worshiping Yahweh. And God said, no, that ain't going to work. Israel got to change. And then he comes down to verse number 14. I want you to grab this now. And the first thing he says, return, O backsliding children. So the first thing has to happen is shepherding is designed to establish God's ordained order for the church. God is speaking to Israel so what? They can get back in God's ordained order. And God's ordained order is not to bring the spirit of the world into the church, but bring the anointing of Jesus into the world. And so the shepherding and anointing is designed to establish God's order. And notice, before God releases the shepherd and anointing, he calls his people to return from their backsliding, which teaches some here. It's not the pastor's role to lead people who want to go in the opposite direction of the Lord. You never find a true shepherd walking behind sheep. A shepherd always walks in the front of sheep. And I like it the way one preacher said that when you walk behind sheep, all you do is step in a bunch of mess. And the reason the shepherd walks in front of the sheep, because sheep are not to be driven or forced to follow the shepherd. They follow the shepherd because they know that the shepherd will take them to greener pastures. They know that the shepherd would make sure we are well nourished. Because God don't call you to lead people who don't want to follow. Surely there are some people that want to follow God. Also, we notice in the text that God is the one who ultimately brings them into his kingdom in glory. Because after he said, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you one from a city and two from a family. And get this, I will bring you to Zion. Listen. Your pastor is not called to bring you into the glory of the kingdom. Your pastor is called to water and plant, and only God can bring the increase. God's going to get you to your destiny. God's going to get you to your appointed place. And you are following the anointing on the under shepherd because you are following God's ordained order. And in that ordained order, you're going to be like Joseph. You're going to land in the place of God for your life. Your children will land in the place of God for their lives because you are under that shepherding anointing. That is not a man's anointing. That is the anointing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why in Corinthians, when it came to the church, the Bible emphatically said that Jesus is the head of the church. And how many know if Jesus is the head, that anointing is flowing down on your pastor. And it is flowing down all of those sheep that are following their pastor. The shepherding anointing is a reflection of the heart of God. That is a loving commitment to the Lord. That's the shepherding anointing. And when you have a loving commitment to God, one of the things you need to see in your pastor, there is a love for God. It's got to be a love for God. If not, he's just a harlot. He's just doing a job. But if he loves God, how many know that is a sign of that anointing? Listen to 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5. This is how the shepherd anointing works. Paul said this, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Notice, Paul was different than those other apostles, those false apostles, because Paul did not preach what people wanted to hear. He preached the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. He did not preach in order to accommodate the changes in the culture. He stayed with the word of God. And then there was the demonstration of the Spirit. Somebody said, oh, that must have been signed. No, Paul meant the demonstration of the Spirit was it was an anointing in his preaching. Saints, you can have the letter. You can go to school and learn the Bible. You can be a theologian and not be saved. You can be trained in how to interpret the scriptures. But it's the anointing that destroys yokes. Hallelujah. And most of us know that are spiritual, that you can listen to a person for about 2 or 3 minutes and discern whether they are anointed. You can discern when someone has the anointing or the oil or the fire of God on them and whether somebody just well polished with preaching. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost. I can tell when someone stand up if or not they are anointed. You can excite people with no anointing, but you can't deliver people without the anointing. You can stir up a lot of emotions without the anointing. But you can't drive out devils without the anointing. And when we're preaching the Holy Ghost, say Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is demonstrating some things by speaking about your life. And you didn't tell the preacher nothing. You'd be like, I was just praying. That was just going on. How did he know? How did he know that? It's because of the Holy Ghost. He knows all things. Listen to this. In John 21, 16, what Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep or feed my sheep. I like to shepherd my sheep. Why? That's the shepherd and anointing. But it is inspired out of Peter what? Love for God. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Jesus. Well, if you love me, you can have the anointing to shepherd my sheep. Glory to God. That's why you have to speak the truth in love. Because when you speak the truth, people get mad. Sometimes they'll say it like this. He didn't have to say it like that. The shepherd anointing provides spiritual nourishment based on sound doctrine. Say sound doctrine. Based on sound doctrine in order for God's sheep to remain spiritually fit and abundantly supplied with spiritual sap for serving in God's vineyard. Listen, listen. God will put the anointing of the shepherd coming on your life so you can stay on course with God. So you can be a vessel of honor fit for the master's use. That means anytime God needs to use you, he can use you. Why? Because you have that shepherd and anointing taking place in your life. You are spiritually fit. When the devil sends an attack in your life, you don't have to be saying, oh, I got to wait this Sunday and I'm going to come down and I'm going to let the pastor pray over me. Fine, that's fine to let the pastor pray over you. But in the meantime, the devil can tear up some stuff before you get there. But if you got that shepherd and anointing on your life, you're going to stand up just like your pastor should stand up. And you're going to say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan, I command you to loose. Hallelujah. I told them on Wednesday, we got three enemies. One of the enemies is the world. How do you overcome the world? You overcome the world with your faith. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcome the world. What? Even our faith. Stuff in the world come against your life, situation in this world. You got to use your faith to overcome this stuff. Jesus said in the world, John 16:33, you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you. Don't let nobody tell you, well, you become a Christian, everything going to be all right. Ain't no trouble. Man, trouble going to find you. Trials going to find you. You're going to go through challenges in your health. You'll go through challenges with your children. But thank God you are an overcomer by your faith. You get a rebellious child, you don't want to see that child destroyed. You tried everything to reach them. You can't reach them, but God can. So you begin to exercise your faith and you begin to pray and pray over them and pray over their rooms and everything and watch that yoke be destroyed and that burden be removed from their lives. The other enemy that we have is the flesh. Galatians 5 talks about the war, it's the spirit war against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. A lot of times we blame the devil for stuff the devil ain't got nothing to do with. Some of it's just our own issues. And how do you overcome the flesh? By walking in the spirit. And then another enemy the Bible reveals is the devil. And the way you overcome the devil is the authority of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I've given you authority over all the works of the devil. And nothing that he does can harm you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what the shepherd anointing does. It keeps you spiritually fit. Those who are willing to partake of the shepherding meal will remain in the fold and moving in the same direction as the shepherd. Goats will wander around and wolves will look for ways to enter the fold in order to divide the sheep and draw them away. Psalms 92:13-14, listen to this. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish. And listen, God wants you to get fat and he wants you to get old in this church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you got to be planted. You can't just say, I'm a church member, or I go to Word Alive. You got to be planted in the anointing in this house. You got to be so planted that can't nobody root you out. You got to be so planted in your house of God that when somebody come and they try to put, get this now, poison on the growth, poison on the fruit. You let them know you're not going to use me to poison this fruit because Jesus is the vine of this house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to what the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 29 to 30. For I know this, Paul gave him a reality check. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw what? To draw many disciples after them. So when you see that picture of that wolf in sheep clothing, stop looking at the outward appearance. Get this, a wolf know how to act just like a sheep. A goat can't act like a sheep, but a goat gets so into the sheep until he thinks he's a sheep and the sheep think he's a sheep. But it's a goat. But if you are being properly nourished by the words of the shepherd and the anointing of your shepherd, you're going to know this goat, this one ain't a sheep. Why? They don't smell like a sheep. Glory to God. And all the time, I don't ever see the shepherd shearing them because they are not sheep. They're goats. They eat anything. They're stubborn. They buck against you. And God tells the shepherd, leave the goats alone. I wish God had said, get the goats out of there. But he said, no, get the wolves out, but leave the goats alone. Get this. You know why he tells them leave them alone? Because he has anointed the shepherd that even a goat can't stop the shepherd. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if we got any goats at Word Alive, you all right. Keep hanging around. You're going to get so much sheep food around you until you're going to begin to think and act like sheep. Every time you talk to your fellow goat, what they serving today? Sheep food. Well, I reckon we got to eat something. If we don't eat something, we're going to die. We got to eat this sheep food. And hopefully by the grace of God, they'll wake up one morning and say, what now happened to us? I thought we were goat, but we are now sheep because you've been eating the right meal. The shepherd anointing will direct the flock toward the presence and glory of God and root out a spirit of stubbornness and following the way of the Lord. Now, after verse 14, God said himself, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with what? With knowledge and understanding. God said, get this, there's an anointing that's going to be on these shepherds. Get this, and there's going to be something that's going to come out of their mouth, and that's going to bring nourishment to you. That's the word of God. That's sound doctrine. Then it says in verse 16, then it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, said the Lord, that they will say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to their mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made anymore. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne room of God. You know what God has said? God said there's going to come a day when the new wine is going to be poured out. And you're not going to even think about the old wine. You're not going to even talk about the old wine. How many know Jesus Christ brought new wine? And the church got to be ready to drink the wine that Jesus brought. Amen. And it said at that time, Jerusalem will be called the throne of God, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow what? The dictates of their evil heart. That spirit of stubbornness will come out of you. That spirit of having your own way going to change in you. You're going to be under that anointing of a shepherd. And God's going to begin to change your heart. Your family going to see the change. How many know that's the glory of God on your life? You're getting in the presence of God. You're learning how to get this, experience his Shekinah glory. The glory is what changes us. The value of being shepherded. The second thing is, shepherding is designed to mobilize the sheep to reach out for more sheep. Remember I said earlier that we are a missional church. That doesn't mean we're a church with a bunch of people with titles called missionaries ain't doing nothing. But that means there's an attitude of faith in you that you know that God has called us to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't need a title to do it. You don't have to have a position in the church to do it. But you can have conversation with people. You can pray for people that God can use you to bring other people in the kingdom of God. The shepherd and anointing calls the church to focus on its mission and not ourselves. God brings the shepherd anointing so that the church can think evangelistically, so that the church can see it's not about us, it's about the kingdom. We often talk about Jesus when he gave the parable about the lost sheep. And I got a slide here that says this. Jesus leaving the 99 to find one seems illogical, irrational, and senseless until that one is you. The last thing is shepherding is designed to unify the sheep. I'm closing with Romans 15. And Romans 15 is very interesting because the Christian church in Rome consisted of Jewish and Gentile believers. And in this type of congregation, you're going to have some differences because they got two different backgrounds. And so when these Jewish people in the church, they had certain restrictions to food diets and they had certain restrictions to holy days. These Gentiles didn't care about meat off of the idols or any of that thing. But Paul came, and this is two things Paul did, and I'm close with. Paul adopted a wisdom and humility by presenting the law of love. And so in Romans 14, verse 14, listen to this. Paul said, I know, am, and convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him is unclean. If your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in what? Love. What he's doing? He's unifying the church. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Paul come and brings what? The law of love to the forefront. So now what he does, he gives the law of love, and then he's used Jesus as an example. He said this, Jesus did not come to serve himself, but Jesus laid down his life for others. We're called to serve one another.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. Located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.